Chapter 1, start.
On the drizzle-strewn evening of March the 9th in old London town, a battered-looking man in a tattered, sleeveless leather jacket is prowling around on stage at the 100 Club. He's clenching his fists, he's stomping his foot, he's punching the air, and he's also hollering through the wannabe hits on the debut Psychedelic album, a record lovingly described by the Enemy as sounding like some bloke standing outside the Temple Bar on Walworth Road at chucking out time, shouting at the top of his voice. He is the frontman in his own back alley band, although to say this singer is actually singing is perhaps stretching the point. His bellow delivery is more of a yowl, a howl, a gruffalo growl. To his right, Slimy Toad shakes off the sweat and lays down his thoroughly unpainted jazz punk riffs. To his front, the crowd is hollering along to dirty little numbers like Groovy Ruby and VD Boiler, and trying to hit the weird notes in fans' scarf-waving favourite, Darling, Let's Have Another Baby. To his credit, he looks like he's having the greatest gig of his life. Up goes the shout of 1-2, cut your hair, an incendiary device explodes into life. The gurning man in the sleeveless jacket is Johnny Moped, and he isn't alone in the punk rock universe. Just a couple of weeks ago, The Damned headlined The Music Machine, with the likes of sometime Banshee and model Marco Peroni, and Buzzcock Steve Diggle propping up the bar. The Stranglers are on tour, as are the Pretenders, and not to be left out, Stiff Little Fingers, Skids, Cockney Rejects and Slaughter and the Dogs are all punk popping up in the gig guide. Weller's mouthing off in the media, Lydon's on sale again, and the Captain's totally insensible. Welcome then to the super sensational Soar Away sound of 78. Except this isn't 1978, it's actually 40 long years later. After various Camden revamps, the Music Machine is now called Coco. Diggle and Peroni are both elderly statesmen, one still a buzzcock, the other a former ant. Seeing the Damned play a blend of ancient original and impressively energetic new tunes to a similarly unbalanced mix of original aging dreamers and youthful newcomers. 4 decades from the heyday of the punk rock meltdown, and much else has changed. Amidst all the gently receding hairlines and gloriously expanding waistlines of the original X Generation X, the Sex Pistols haven't played together for over 10 years. John Lydon is swallowing the bitterest pill again with his The Public Image is Rotten album. The Clash crashed and burnt a mere 10 years after launching with Joe Strummer's death in 2002, nixing any chance of a cash reinformation. And The Jam played their last show at Wembley Arena in 1982 at their considerably peak with Paul Weller consistently, insistently, ever since they'll never play live again, whilst evolving into everyone's favourite gruff Britpop grandad. Even this very day of March the 9th signifies the end of an era today, the last time printed copies of the Enemy appeared on the streets. Quite literally, as towards the end they suffered the ignominy of being given away free to baffled tourists outside tube stations. Rest in press. Yet many of Johnny Moped's larger sodden peers are still very much in the beer and now finding contemporary communal spirited gigging homes at the Rebellion Festival in Blackpool at the end of the summer, or at the Springtime Revelations Festival in Harpington, or indeed at the 100 Club's very own New Year Shuddering Resolution Festival, where the members, the Vibrators, the Lurkers, the Boys and UK subs all played just a few weeks before Johnny Moped rode back into town. And yes, there have been other numerous casualties over the years. The Damned, the Stranglers and the Pretenders plough on with barely half their original lineups intact, while other bands with even more than a couple of original members are still doing the rounds 4 decades on, a rarer than an original Johnny Moped bootleg cassette. Even in the Moped band at the 100 Club, only guitarist Slimy Toad and Johnny himself remain from the legendary Psychedelic lineup since the death of bassist Fred Burke back in the 80s and the departure of stalwart drummer Dave Burke in 2017. But somehow, some way, punk is still not quite dead. It's not just punk though, is it? It's everyone that ever worked is back, sniffed Slimy Toad. I have a theory about that. Simon Cowell is churning out so many brilliantly talented artists that the public are going, wow, they're great. They're really great. But do you know what? Do you remember the Sweet? Do you remember grunge? Do you remember rock and roll? Do you remember punk? Do you remember the Beatles, the Stones, ABBA? And people want a fad. They want a genre to latch onto so they can say, I remember that. I'm going to go and see it again. So I think Simon Cowell has a responsibility for starting something really horrible called Nostalgia Rock. And everyone who's ever worked, you look in the back of a magazine and there they are, including us. So I'm not knocking it. I don't care. We're getting the dosh at the end of the day and it's a privilege. If someone wants to listen to the racket we make, I don't mind cranking it up again. As our tattered hero slips off his battered leather jacket and slides off into the night, let us take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, past the taxis and route masters, swishing through the neon-lit West End puddles, over the road from the 100 Club for a quick bomb down Wardour Street. At number 203, Crackers, aka The Vortex, is now Dirty Harry's themed nightclub, where you can feast on a cardiac Callahan burger, and while feasting your eyes on the leather-clad go-go dancing Dirty Harry's girls. A fitting existence, surely, for a venue which saw Susie and the Slits play its opening night in 1977. Up the road, on the left-hand side at number 90, the sticky-carpeted punk-era marquee has long since been renovated as Soho Lofts, including four penthouses boasting panoramic views across London, and according to Urban Space, now features an elegant entrance lobby with leather-covered walls, finished by designer Bill Amberg. Nice. Now turn left into the goldy glare of Old Compton Street, up to the end and past the freshly cleansed Spice of Life and on through Cambridge Circus. Go up Shaftesbury Avenue for a minute or two, turn right by the London Theatre bookings outlet, and there, just on the right-hand side, you'll find another much-cherished and frequently trashed venue, which has long since fallen foul of the West End's fruity gentrification. At 43 to 46 Neal Street, there is a blue plaque which marks the spot where the Roxy once ruled, the Rock and Roll Roost, a spot which spent many years of its post-punk existence as the flagship store for Speedo swimwear. From punks to trunks, it's been some kind of mad journey.